Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome Dr. Mac Brunson to the podcast. Pastor Brunson has served as senior pastor of the First Baptist Church of Jacksonville, Florida, since 2006. Additionally, he has pastored churches in South Carolina, Virginia, North Carolina, and of course, the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. He's the author of several books, including the new guidebook for pastors to be released this year by B&H. Dr. Brunson, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you. It's good to be here, Dr. Allen.
Well, it's good to have you here. Welcome to Kansas City and welcome to campus.
Well, the campus is incredible.
Well, you know, I think so, and it's encouraging to me when friends like you show up and share that thought. We're really grateful what the Lord is doing here. Of course, we're recording here in the context of the Spurgeon Library. It's been so much fun for me to give you a brief look around. We'll give you a more thorough one tomorrow, but it's always fun to have preachers on campus and to show them the Spurgeon Library. It's like taking a kid into a candy store.
That's exactly the way I feel.
Well, listen, I am delighted to have you at the table today. I've been wanting to do an interview with you for some time, and then on this occasion, we have you preaching in chapel tomorrow, and so I just look forward to being able to do this recording in person. I want to, before we get into the meat of the conversation, which today we're framing as Reflections on 35 Years of Ministry with Dr. Mac Brunson, before we get into that topic specifically, let's just have some front porch time. Tell us a little bit about your ministry, about the broad contours, how God brought you to First Jacksonville, and what's taking place there now.
You know, when you asked me how long I'd been in the ministry, my mind went back to the first little church that I pastored, which was way out in the country, outside of my hometown. A little church that had been established in the 1700s. I had a cemetery next to the church that had Confederate soldiers buried in it. It was at the end of a paved road, and the pews had been made by the slaves.
Wow.
I had 12 people there my first Sunday morning. I just finished Furman University, and I don't bat an eye when I say this. Furman was so liberal that when I graduated, I thought, this must be what seminary is like, and I just don't want any more of it. So I went home, little church called me, and I started pastoring, and we grew 55% the first year. So it's you get 12 people, and all of a sudden your church can't seat 100, and you're running 100 people. And so I felt like, you know, gosh, the Lord had blessed this, but I needed seminary, so I left and
went
to seminary.
And so you went from there to where? Southwestern Seminary?
Yeah.
And what years were you at Southwestern?
I was there from 80 to 83.
Okay, 80 to 83.
Or 82 to 85, so somewhere. I had to stop and think about it.
Early 80s, which of course were great years at Southwestern, really a part of their heyday, that early mid-80s era. And where did God move you from there?
I went from there to Chesapeake, Virginia, and pastored really kind of an inner city church, which is interesting why God would take a little country boy and put me in the city churches that he's put me in. So I was there in Chesapeake, Virginia for 7 years to the day, went to High Point, North Carolina for 7 years to the day. And High Point, my dad had a furniture store, so I grew up going to High Point, North Carolina for the furniture market twice a year. So when I went to pastor there, I had the unique opportunity to lead men to the Lord, baptize them, and bring them into the church who had sold my dad furniture when I was just a baby.
Wow. And so that's where you were when you went to Dallas.
That's
and
right.
What year did you go to Dallas?
I went to Dallas in 99.
Okay. The first time I heard your name, in 1999, I was a senior in college, and I was beginning to cut my teeth in ministry. I'd left my college basketball team, was pursuing ministry, and didn't know much about anything as far as who was who or what church was what or anything like that. But I remember listening to Christian radio in my hometown of Mobile, Alabama, where I was living then, and I remember hearing an announcement on the Christian radio station that First Baptist Dallas had called a new pastor, Mac Brunson, I remember from North Carolina. And that was the first time I heard your name. And to be quite candid, it wasn't so much that I connected with your name at that point, but I had a general awareness of First Baptist Dallas. So I had enough of an instinct as a very young man in his early 20s then to be thinking, well, I guess this is important because it's on Christian radio, it's First Baptist Dallas, I've heard of the church, and they've called this new pastor.
Yeah, I did. I think it was a surprise to everybody. It was certainly a surprise to me, because the interesting thing was, in the summer of 84, when Joel Gregory was preaching there on Sunday nights through the summer of 84, mm-hmm. it was kind of they were looking at him, you know, to call him. I did some of his illustrations for him. I was his student.
Okay.
So I would go over on Sunday nights, listen to him preach, to hear him do my illustrations.
Wow. And so you served there how long?
I was there right at 7 years.
And then God called you to Jacksonville, yeah. the great First Baptist Church of Jacksonville, yeah. Florida, with Dr. Jerry Vines, and of course his long co-pastor with Homer Lindsay Jr., right. and before him, Homer Lindsay Sr. And tell us about your ministry there. Now, you've been there now in your 11th year, and what's God been doing?
Well, you know, it's these huge churches, these great mega churches like that, that exploded back in the late 60s and the 70s. It took a great work to do what was done, but I want to tell you something. If you go ask Steve Gaines, you can ask me, it takes a huge amount of work just to keep those things where they are. Mm. So it's been a lot of work. God's blessed us. We are now in 4 locations. We're downtown. We have a campus out south in 30 acres of land. We're going to probably break ground in July and start a facility there. We have a church over on the west side that has had now to go to 2 services. And believe it or not, we have a campus on UNF, University of North Florida.
Good for you, and good for them.
Yeah, God's blessing all of that.
Well, I was down your way just a few months ago when I preached for H.B. Charles, yeah. the Cutting It Straight Conference. I had yeah. the privilege of hearing you preach the night before. I preached, and the gentleman with me who was helping to host me for HB's church was driving me. I said, let's just drive around First Baptist Jacksonville. And so it was late at night, and we just drove around, didn't enter the building, but we drove around and reminded anew of the massive facilities you guys have there. So how many city blocks do you guys
own? It's about 11 city blocks, about 1 million square feet of space. Now, some of that's not used. A lot of it is used, but some of it's not. And we've had to go, and when you've got old buildings like that, I discovered this in Dallas, and Robert did the right thing there. Man, just take it all down and build back. Mm. Because all you do is just pour money into old buildings.
Yeah.
So we've had to redo, you know, some of the buildings downtown there.
So here you are, the year's 2017. You've been in ministry now 35 or so years, and had some unique pastorates, made some special memories along the way, and have just served in very consequential contexts. When I think of Mac Brunson, and I hear people refer to Mac Brunson, the word that always comes to mind is the word preacher. And where did you develop your love and your passion for preaching?
You know, I grew up in the home of a Baptist deacon. My dad didn't have but an 8th grade education, and loved to read, loved the Bible, and had a small library. He was a self-taught man. And my daddy studied for a Sunday school lesson, I guarantee you, harder than half the preachers study for their sermons on Sunday morning.
Wow.
And I just watched him, and from that, I think, developed just a love of the study of the Word and the study.
So when you think of a preacher, some people really like the proclamation side. Other men really enjoy the preparation side. Great preachers tend to really love both.
Yeah, yeah.
How has your respective passions for those two developed over the years?
I love to study. I'm studying harder now. I just was at a conference just this past weekend up in Georgia, a men's conference out in the middle of nowhere, and the place was packed. They had patrol out there just directing traffic. Spoke one session to a room packed with preachers and told them that. I said, I'm studying harder now than I've ever studied in my life. I'm in the study 6 days a week at least. And just love it. You know, I do it for free. They don't pay me to study and preach. They pay me to go to meetings. You know. So I love it. That's my heart. That's all I want to do.
So the great, you know, definition of preaching as truth through personality. Mm-hmm. the personality side of things, what has shaped you as a preacher as far as the act of proclamation, the moment of preaching? And for those who aren't familiar with preaching, you're energized, you're impassioned, you're prophetic at times. Humanly speaking, what has brought that about? From where has that been developed?
You know, that's a good question, Dr. Allen. I don't know. I really don't know. It's just, for me, I always am asked the question, you know, how far out in advance do you prepare your messages? I don't. I prepare them each week because I've done the other before. I've gotten 3 or 4 weeks out. But I like for it to be just burning in my heart. It's just like fresh bread taken that week from the oven. And I think the word moves me.
And so is that, as far as that sermon, though you're working out in advance and you're preaching typically through passages of Scripture, books in the Bible, so you know where you're going, that process of the sermon being, to use your analogy, that fresh bread coming out, is that a Saturday morning, a Saturday night, a Sunday morning? I mean, how do you spend those final days of preparation leading up to Sunday morning?
I'm just constantly refining it, just constantly going back over it, refining it. On Saturday nights, I don't even sleep in the same room with my wife because I can't sleep on Saturday nights. I wake up about every 30, 45 minutes and I'm preaching.
In your sleep?
Yes.
Spurgeon did that.
Is that right? No, I did not know that.
Yeah.
I thought I was the only freak.
No. There's a famous story that of Spurgeon that Christian George loves to tell, and I'll be Christian George here for a moment. When Spurgeon one night went to bed on Saturday evening without preparing his sermon, forgot how one forgets, I don't know, but went to bed on Saturday night forgetting to prepare his sermon. In his sleep, he was preaching. His wife, who was awakened, heard him preaching, jotted down a few notes of his sermon. In the morning, Spurgeon sees the notes and uses those notes for his sermon notes for the sermon that Lord's Day.
Right. Well, my wife's never done that. She has told me to turn over and go back to sleep.
Right. I'm afraid that's the response I would get to.
Oh, gosh.
So it's a process of refining. Even coming into Saturday night, you're energized so much so you have trouble sleeping. You're ready to preach. And has that passion grown in 35 years? Is it lessened? Is it intensified?
No, I think it's intensified. It sure has not lessened any. It's not slacked off at all.
And so as you look at what God's taught you for 35 years, what he's teaching you now, as you look at a church and you preach in a lot of conferences, you're in other pulpits, in your estimation, what is the state of preaching in the typical evangelical church?
Sad. It's sad. And I don't want to dwell on that, but it's sad. I find most preachers today, number one, they don't read. They don't spend time in the study, and they don't really have a love. I love language. Go read a Dickens novel. Go learn how to speak a phrase, turn a phrase, how to say something in a way that will catch somebody's attention and hold some. It's rare. You just don't see much of it. I'm afraid too many guys find this to be an easy job to do. And I suppose it can be. I've never found ministry easy at all.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I'd like to know where that church is, where it's such a cushy job. But I guess you're right. Some people do. They manage to find those congregations.
That troubles me. It burdens me. And that's why I am willing and want to give the rest of my life to just pouring into any young guys. Everybody I've hired on my staff is a lot younger than I am. I've got a bunch of young preachers, and I'm just trying to pour into them, praying that these guys will catch it and turn around and spark their own generation.
So as you do that, as you seek to pour into these young men, especially who are there in your ministry setting in your local church and invest in them, you've juxtaposed these young men alongside a concern that you see preaching on the wane. What is your ambition for these young men to be able to do about it?
Well, I want them to be committed to the text. I want them to be expositors. I want them to be committed to the study. Now, you've got all the other things you have to do as a pastor. You know, everybody out there says, you know, if you're a mega church pastor, you're a celebrity pastor. I go to the hospital. I go to nursing homes. I go knock on doors and see people. So I don't know what they're talking about. I haven't had a raise in 10 years. So I'm not making an exorbitant, outlandish. In fact, I've lost 7% of my salary over the last 10 years because of the financial times and those kind of things. So I just consider myself just a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the auditorium's a little bigger than some people's, but I'm just a preacher.
Well, and in ministry, I've been called many things. As a pastor of a local church, serving in a seminary context, I've been called pastor. I've been called Jason. I've been called Dr. Allen. I've been called seminary president. The sweetest title in my ear has always been the title preacher.
Yeah.
And that typically was a generational distinctive, meaning older people in my church would call me preacher. And if you're on really good terms, they call you my preacher, mm-hmm. refer to you as my preacher. And no sweeter two words have ever landed on my ear, I don't think.
Right. You're right. I agree.
So 35 years is a long time to be at this. We've talked about how preaching to some degrees has changed as far as what the church has experienced. You've talked about your desire for young men to invest in them and to see them experience a commitment to expository preaching. As far as the church, what does it say about the church if the pulpit is weaker today than it was 25, 35 years ago?
Well, was it Forsyth or Broadus that said, as the pulpit goes, so goes the church? I think it was Broadus that said, you know, if there's a malaise, if there's a sickness that's there in the pulpit, the church, it's reflected in the church. When there's a weakness in the pulpit, there's a weakness in the church. I think that's what you find in the country today. If there's a lack of clarity, if there's a lack of conviction, you'll find the same thing in the pew. People don't know. You know, everything that you read about millennials today, they're talking about how, you know, they're leaving the church and this, but yet there's a spiritual hunger on their part. They're looking for an authoritative voice. Well, the only authoritative voice that they can hear is a voice that cries out the Word of God.
So 35 years into it, if you could do something over, if you could get a mulligan, what would you have done differently?
Worked on preaching harder. Worked on my preaching.
Looking back, is there something absolutely you would not have changed? Meaning not in a prideful way, but you say, you know what? I've been committed to this. I've experienced this, and praise God, I'm glad I have.
Just being me. Not trying to be somebody else, but just being me. When I went to First Dallas, the day before I ever preached in the pulpit there, I went over to see Dr. Criswell. Mm. My wife, my children were with me. And he called me over and he said, kneel down here. He said, I want to lay hands on you and pray for you. And I did. And he looked at me and he said, you just be you. And what he was saying was essentially, don't try to be me or try to be anybody else. And I had already predetermined that when I went there, I was not going to be anybody but Mac Brunson. That is the one thing that I think I have maintained through the years.
Well, good for you and good for the churches you serve. Time is flying by here. Let me land the plane with one final question. We have many younger ministers listening to this podcast. What would be your counsel to young pastors in the early years of their ministry?
Work on your pulpit ministry. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot of work to go and knock on a door and visit somebody. You can do that. But I would give the best of my time, whatever that is during the course of the day, whether it's early morning or night. I get up early in the morning, 4:30, 5 o'clock. Dr. Truett didn't start studying until 9 at night. That's when his study time was. But whatever that time is, give the best of your time to the pulpit. To
Amen.
Your pulpit ministry.
I agree. And as one of your predecessors, he would say, Dr. Criswell, give your mornings to God, your afternoons to visits, and your
evenings. To the church,
and
then the evening to visit.
To visit.
Yeah.
Left out the family in there somewhere, but that's another conversation. Yeah. Well, listen, thank you so much for this time today. We're honored to have you on campus, and this has been an encouraging conversation for
Good.
Me.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, please visit my website, jasonkallen.com.